Well, first of all, my name is Stephen Quick. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, celebrating victory over alcohol, suicidal tendencies, and codependency. My sobriety date is 6/10/18. Thank you. Okay. I have often wondered what I would say. I also wonder what I'd write, if I'd ever have a chance to write, because candidly, I didn't ever think I'd write my testimony. But here I am now, praise God, and I am presenting it to you. I grew up in a religious home. I also grew up in a chaotic home. I accepted Christ December 23rd, 1979. It's a big deal in my family. I still get a spiritual gift on Christmas every year. And I have wonderful memories growing up, but I also have very chaotic and dark memories as well. My mom and dad fought a lot. Really, my mom did. My dad just didn't do anything. Found out later that they both had significant skeletons. And for the sake of confidence, I'm not going to share the stories about me. But I can say that they have recovered and they've dealt with their stuff. All right. For those who don't know, I am a drummer. So, drum roll. Okay. Here we go. My earliest memory is when I was about 6 years old. I really don't recall much anything before that. I mean, I've seen photos, etc. But I do remember a man standing outside of my apartment at the age of six. The next thing I remember, I was standing outside on the floor, on the ground, on a house that I didn't recognize. Females that were asking me if I was okay. I had makeup all over my face and I was disheveled. Recently, a friend of mine, who's a psychologist and hypnotherapist, with also many years of recovery, agreed that we investigate this part of my life through hypnosis. Though he never shared with me what I told him, he did confirm that I was raped by that man and those two women. I was at the age of six. I'm reminded that that's not my fault. Now, I'm not saying that's where my addiction started, because frankly, I didn't really address that until recently. But I do remember struggling at the time, by the time I was in middle school. I was an athlete, I was fascinated by fire, enamored by music. I even created a radio station called QUIK FM 912. Me and my sister put down this radio station together. And we made a band called Red, White, Blue Lightnings. We made tickets, made lights, we had a stage. Teddy Cool and the backup singers were the backup singers. But it needed more pizzazz. Fire. I needed fire. So I grabbed myself a Folgers can back in the day when they were metal, and I put gasoline in that, and I lit that bad boy up. Well, I forgot to mention, I'm in a basement of a turn-of-a-century home, and yeah, that didn't work out very well. So I took that can, and I ran it outside, and I threw it against a 15-foot privacy trees, and I ran for my life, fearing that I was going to die, not from the fire, but from my dad. And he didn't get upset, ironically. However, the next day he did buy me a bike, and he encouraged me to use it and not go into the basement anymore. The reason I bring up the basement, I was alone a lot during that, my fifth and eighth grade years. I foundationally created some habits then. There was booze down there. I would start to tear up grocery sacks, paper grocery sacks, and I would start to smoke them. And then I also was an introduction to some pretty dark porn and sexual addiction. My parents were separated by this point, and I only got drunk one time that I can recall. But I was coupled with some friends. I told some friends that I was going to end my life. My mom checked on me, but that was about it. Because of chaos in my home, I was deemed the role caretaker and entertainment. So for fear of disappointing others around me and my family, I became a high-performing codependent child who knew how to make people laugh and smile. Early on, sports wasn't great for me because my parents were going through a divorce. Kept my focus on it, teammates, goals, etc. I was involved in a local church in Lake Oswego. Despite what was happening, I found some solace, some peace. I belonged to something greater than myself. I started leading a Bible study on a high school campus. We started with 10, and then we would average to 125 at a high school campus. I was an all-year letterman. I started singing in choirs. Ended up on an overseas missions trip for four months, Royal Servants International. So by the time I was a senior, I wanted to go into the ministry. Didn't go to college, but I did become a high school leader in Gresham for about 7 years. Led some guys, even preached once in a while. This is where my love for drums surfaced. It was New Year's Eve. I was 21 years old. I was listening to Foreigner's Jukebox Hero. Good song. I digress. I was telling a gal, and she says, you know, you should stop listening and start playing. So the very next day, I went out and bought a 71 Slingerland, chrome on chrome, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 18, all chrome, baby. It was a beautiful kit. Music was in full swing, playing in secular and Christian bands, studio projects, stage management, booking, I did it all. And I even got married, so everything on the surface looked wonderful. But all this was happening, my sexual addiction, codependency, and my booze would begin to surface. I never really dealt with my stuff, so while for surface everything looked good, I was struggling privately. The need to be liked or want, or to be the best I ever wanted touched, failure was not an option. Who am I trying to impress? What was driving me? Later I find out that I have deep parent wounds, hoping that they would notice me if I did good enough. But they were just wounded, just like me. So at this point, sexual addiction is running rampant in my life, and it did for about 10 years. And I was never caught, but almost nothing was off limits. Back then, there was no smartphones. It was porn shops, strip joints, sex, drugs, rock and roll lifestyle. There was more, but I am choosing not to share that right now. But I didn't feel comfortable sharing, but I did need to come clean. And I did, and my conscience, I couldn't look in the mirror any longer. Needless to say, my ministry, marriage, and my finances were all destroyed. Hey, Brett. Depression was building at this point, and I'm still not dealing with anything. I was in a short string of rebound relationships, got my second wife pregnant, had my daughter, and I started my second business. All I can say about my second marriage was nothing short of chaos on both ends. I learned to talk very well on my feet, so I went into sales, right? And I did very well. And when I realized this, I closed the doors of my second business. So I sold doorstops and monitor stands. I mean, yellow pages. That's what I sold. And I traveled all over the U.S. for that. It's here for yellow pages. I owed a lot of debt during that time, about $50,000. I worked hard. I paid off my debt in about 15 months. And there was even short seasons where I was kind of close to God. Well, at least my distorted version of him. I was on the worship team, and music was a very high level. Sexual addiction had been addressed, and I was only drinking socially. Two drink limit, right? Codependency was still there. I was making stupid money. And again, the surface, I look fine. But I really haven't stated at this point that I had not created really any meaningful relationships with men in my life. I had two guys I spoke to. We played worship and music together for a number of years. I even considered them close friends to me. But in private, I had so much pain and relational drama, I just didn't have a lot to offer. Even at one point, those gentlemen had an intervention with me. They grew tired of it. They just didn't know what to do with me anymore. I was just so self-absorbed and meant well, but I was not capable of having a deep relationship as an adult. Side note, I now have a healthy, godly relationship with those two gentlemen. Any kind of connection in the church or in the business world was surface at best. I remember one time telling an employee of mine that if someone came up to me and they said my name and I said, hey, buddy, that means I didn't know their name. And I did that, and it happened a lot, embarrassing. I traveled a lot, all over the U.S., all the Western U.S. My job required it, and I was good at it. I was required to bring Yellow Page books back to budget on a regular basis, and I never fell short of my campaign. I went to dozens of what they would call hit teams. My role was to bring the book back to budget, and the only thing I was allowed to have was turn downs and collection issues. And if I didn't make $10,000 in a month, it was not a successful campaign on my end. Coming home on the weekend to drum, spending time with my kids, leave for another 3 to 4 days. I did this for 25 weeks out of the year for about 7 years. Until one time, I was in Susanville, California, running a book campaign, and my daughter called me and said, I miss you, Daddy. That was it. I quit the Yellow Pages, and I went to another Yellow Page. I went to the big Yellow Page book that had been courting me for 2 years. Because you guys don't know, but my kids, as an adult, I make the decisions. All my career decisions were based on my accessibility to my kids. I wanted to be the one dad that the dad that was at all the school functions. That was me, and I'm really proud of that. But moving to that Yellow Page company was a death of my career. The previous Yellow Page company was not happy that I left because I was a top 2% earner. So they sent their attorneys after me for a non-compete clause. So at this point, it's 2006. That year, I made $185,000. The following year, I made $8,000. God was trying to get my attention, and I was not listening. And I would be homeless for the first time. I remember it well. It was summer 2008. I slept in my car for about 6 weeks. One day, a friend from church called me and said, God told him to call me and ask if I needed a place to stay. He didn't know what was going on. I accepted his room. 2007, I started in the field of business that I am today in. I was on the worship team, a couple of bands. I figured out in a hurry, it's not a whole lot of money playing drums. So I went back into running lights and sound and studio projects, etc. Because of my unwillingness to deal with anything that was where I started, I really started to fall apart. I also needed to state, I love my kids. I love my kids. Did I mention that I love my kids? I love my kids. Okay. I went from working and from home, always seeing them, to only seeing them every 13 days for 18 hours. I did not know how to handle this. I had no coping skills. I got into a dysfunctional relationship that did not last. She dumped me because of my drinking. Go figure. And Facebook would just become popular. So I'm posting all these wonderful inspirational quotes, encouraging others while I'm completely lit up. What a double life. I'm lying all the time to borrow money with no intention of paying them back. Trust me, there were a lot of them. And to that specific sentence, I've paid almost every one of them back. I wrote a lot of $5 and $10 checks. So, I'm trying to figure out this new life. It wasn't much of one. During this time, I was taking 450 milligrams of Wellbutrin, 50 milligrams of Abilify, 6 milligrams of Xanax, because my psychiatrist had no idea what he was doing. And by the way, I'm now at this point consuming a fifth of vodka a day. And by the way, Abilify discourages drinking alcohol. One side effect is death. So this would be my first unintentional attempt of committing suicide. So then I got into another relationship. Here's a problem. I'm not dealing with my stuff. I am surviving. One thing I learned about sobriety is that you need to live a very deliberate life. And to this point, I just can't say that I really had. Train your body, train your mind, yield to God. I wish I could say that relationship fixed me, but quite candidly, it just created more chaos. Booze is every day now. It has been for quite some time. I'm a morning drinker. I would start at 4:30 in the morning. And by 10, I've already consumed a fifth. Just opened long enough to go to the liquor store because it opened up at 10. I'm doing dumb things. I'm saying dumb things. I'm driving all over the place. Get alcohol. I'm driving my family, even to the coast, intoxicated. And I even got fired. I've only been fired one time in my life, guys. And I was a janitor for a church. And that didn't work out well. My window of people was smaller, people that I can borrow from. So I started pawning items. I'd write bad checks. I was stealing payday loans, giving blood, plowing through checks like water, ended up on check systems, lost my driver's license with literally almost $20,000 with the driving while suspended tickets. I did eventually get into sober housing, but then I would get 24'd because I failed my breathalyzer. At this point, I'm just chaos. Even one of my mentors said, you like chaos. I'm like, no, I don't. He goes, then why do you keep accepting it in your life? I don't know why, but he was correct. I was assaulted by my ex-wife and her boyfriend of the week for no other reason, just to do it. This was in front of my son and daughter. Then she proceeds to tell DHS inhumane lies about me. And I have to deal with DHS for 4 different occasions of false accusations. But the ultimate punishment was that she wouldn't let me see my kids for 18 months. I fell apart. At this point, I think I had been to detox 4 times, 0 coping skills, and I would be homeless at this point for a 3rd time. But this time it's winter, and I'm sleeping in recycled bins, and it would be raining. It would be 6 weeks before I get into sober housing again. I was so damaged. I was so damaged, self-inflicted by this point, that it was becoming increasingly difficult to maintain my life. I was also pushing music one more round, doing lighting stage work anywhere I could, and there was many weeks I'd work 90 hours between all the jobs. And just from sheer exhaustion, I would be drinking less. That would be my ability to cope. I did stop for about 6 months, cold turkey, did the 90 and 90, went to AA, but it didn't last. I would stay, when I would go to detox, I would stay long enough to be cleared medically, and then I'd take off. I don't remember how many times I went in. Candidly, there was times that I just don't even remember. There's days I don't remember. It doesn't make me any less liable for the choices that I made. But candidly, I should have been in jail more than a few occasions, and deservingly so. And remember that movie, Pursuit of Happiness? Will Smith? Yeah? Remember that movie? Okay. Well, like Will Smith said, this part of my life, this part is where you get to start dealing with your stuff in the midst of your active addiction. I am reaping the rewards of my choices. I was willing, but I didn't know how to get out of this. I was even talking to my counselor, and I was begging her, how do I get out of this? I was begging her. I was beyond broke, suicidal thoughts at this point running rampant, trying to survive, always drunk, in and out of detox. Drunk, trying to survive, always drunk, in and out of detox. I hated my life. I felt like the joke to society. I felt like the town drunk that nobody talked, you know, that everybody talked to, but they didn't talk to me. I was embarrassed for my dad, my mom, and my family, and my friends. In November 2015, I would have an ankle injury on my left ankle. I was doing loadout for Fleetwood Mac at the Moda Center, and a 1,000-pound speaker took out my left ankle, workman's comp. This left ankle still needs surgery in 4 spots. But now I'm getting paid to feel sorry for myself. And after about 6 months, I realized my career of music and doing light tech work was ended. I never felt comfortable how the case was going. I needed to find another career. Well, my little business was a ticket, merchant services. So I made it full time. Still need surgery on my left ankle, but at this point now my right ankle needs surgery as well because workman's comp wouldn't pay for it. This would be my first real attempt at recovery. I got an addiction counselor. I got a sponsor. I made it about 19 months. I did steps 1 through 3, 6 through 12. Sort of skipped 4 and 5. I don't recommend that, by the way. I'd be helping my daughter at this point to help her graduate from high school. This is important, and I'll share in a second. Beginning 2018, I had a business plan for the year. I sold a portion of my portfolio, and I would receive $65,000 in cash. On February 14th, 2018, a life event would happen to throw me over the edge. That was it. I was done. I am ending my life. This is a close to get to dying without dying. I am grieving in a gut-wrenching emotional and physical pain. I am firmly established now in the business community, and I would eventually go to detox and inpatient treatment. My counselor shed tears down her face and said, if you did not stop, I will be reading you in the obituary in 6 months. And she was right. I stopped showing up business-wise. I left social media. I stopped talking to my friends, dropped the counselor, dropped the sponsor. I stopped eating. Except I was eating chocolate cream pie, but I don't think that constitutes as food. That's what I ate. I was cutting myself for the first time. I drank a lot. And this went on for about 4 months. Remember, I had $65,000. Wellness checks were happening. Police would show up. They'd take me to the little white room 3 times over at St. B's. They never took my vodka. They never took my blades. So as soon as I was released, I went back home and I started drinking and I started cutting again. At one point in time, I made a drunk phone call to a friend of mine. And he brought some food to eat. I didn't eat it. I had letters laid out. Goodbye stuff to my family and to some people. Freaked him out a little bit. I don't know why. And he asked me to put those items away. I agreed, but then I put them back out. My best friend would eventually convince me to go to inpatient treatment. I didn't want to go. I was embarrassed. All I can tell you is what they told me is that I couldn't stand, I couldn't walk, I couldn't put together a sentence. I would blow a blood level of 0.439 in my intake. On that same day, my daughter graduated for high school. And I was grieving so hard about this that they had to sedate me that night and strap me down. background to my daughter. She was having a hard time with school, graduating. She's also in recovery. We agreed to do this journey together. So I committed to her that whatever she needed to do to graduate, I would make that happen. And I'm really proud of her on two fronts. Not only once, she got her diploma, and she's going to college, but more importantly, she's still sober. So when she used to say she was graduating and I wasn't there, I'm glad I was in a controlled environment because I don't think I would have made it through the night. Okay, I'm out of treatment. I'm sober. But I'm still considered high risk on a suicidal front all the way up until October 2019, living in sober housing. How did I learn about CR? A little dramatic. The Friday before, I took the seatbelt off of my car and I was going to drive into a wall. And I started. I was listening to Zach Williams. And I didn't do it. And the gentleman in the house, who was the president of the Oxford House, said, "You need food. You're broke." And I said, "Yeah, you're right." He goes, "I know a place over in Aloha called Food Brigade, and they have food." And so I went and got food. But right on the kitchen door, when I was in the frozen food section, it said, "Celebrate recovery." And I've never left. And I mean, it's not a grandiose story, but that's literally what happened. I never left, and I've been involved ever since. What a godsend. I was absorbed, and I was finally starting to connect with men. I told God when I got in part of CR and in this church that I did not want them to know that I was a drummer. And it's another story, another day. I needed a real connection with men and from God. I needed to genuinely heal from the growth of the decades of personal abuse and destruction that I have done in my life. I needed a healthy, godly life. I needed God in my life. I need you, Father, to be in charge. I needed a healthy version of Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. I'm also beginning to understand the amount of retooling that I'm going to need to do in my life. This time, God is in charge. And I have a godly men speaking into my life. I got a sponsor, went through all the steps, and steps 4 and 5, baby. I would say the crossroads, lesson number 19, I would say it was harder than admitting that I was powerless. Because that crossing over from chaos to Christ, I've been wrestling with this over a year. It was the control that I struggled with. And at that time, I just didn't really feel that I deserved anything from God or anybody. I also struggled with praying out loud or letting the business community know that I was in recovery. I was just so ashamed. Dealing with the disappointment in myself and hurting other people I love, I was willing to let go of the control, but I was straight up scared. I am 2 months removed from my first ankle surgery. It would be March 16, 2020. I got COVID. I would have to isolate myself. It would be almost 4 weeks with zero accountability and money to burn. And I can tell you that was the best experience that I ever had in my life. God used that to address 3 major triggers in my life. Codependency, money, and relationships. God saw me through that. But I can honestly say that God really did save me during that time. At my church, they have a gifting class, and they determined that I should lead a group. So when I finished the steps, on June 2020, there was a need for a men's group on the pandemic on Zoom. So I agreed to do that until June 2021. In May 2021, I was asked to be the ministry leader for Westside Celebrate Recovery, and I was happy and honored to accept that. And now I have a couple... Thank you. I have a couple guys now that I sponsor. Scares the crap out of me, no offense. But you know what? God's got them, because I don't do a very well job of being God. I don't know about you guys, but I suck at it. So, you know, that's just the way it is. I am far from perfect. I am my own worst critic. I still struggle at times with my headspace, but it gets better every day, as long as I'm diligent and purposed in my daily life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that I am a new creature, that the old has passed away, and I am new. I am new. Y'all, you're new, okay? We are a new person in Christ. We have the opportunity to live an incredible life if we choose to leave behind the chaos, the drama, the craziness of self-sabotaging lifestyle, and embrace this new life. one that is already ours. You guys hear that? It's already ours. Not the one that we're living in. The Bible also says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you." What I've done in my life up to this point was terrible, not okay, but I take responsibility. I got to keep my side of the street clean. But now I live a life of healing, to have the privilege of helping others from death to life in Christ. I don't know if you noticed throughout my testimony, I shared family and friends who we have healed or restored ourselves. It is important to note that you have to have little victories. My mentor calls them emotional reference points. So when you're really struggling, you have a point of reference to remember that you can be victorious even in the little things. I cannot thank you enough for those that have been a part of my healing journey. I thank you from the bottom of my heart that I had the honor to be able to share this with you. Like I said in my opening statement, I didn't think I was going to get to write my story. Our Father had a different plan, and I'm forever grateful. Thank you for the privilege. Let me share my story. I hope it inspires you, and if you guys want to talk to me afterwards, I'd be happy to do so. Thank you.